I say this all the time, but Horatio Spafford knew how to write a good song. Open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 15, if you will. Matthew chapter number 15. I don't think I will need very long this evening at all. Very familiar passage of Scripture. By the time I get to the evening service, I feel like I put in an eight-hour day. Fortunately, preachers only work 3 hours a week, so anybody can stand that, right? This is a familiar text, and we will not be, I don't think, too long this evening. Preached from this text back in 2012, and talking about just feeling like a dog under the master's table. So we'll certainly say some of the same things, I'm sure, this evening. But I love this text. Verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Just a crumb will do. That's what I think about every time I come to this passage of Scripture. Just a crumb, just a morsel from our Heavenly Father is more than enough for us. Now, every time I come to this passage of Scripture, and I said I preached from it before, but every time I come to this passage, I can't help but empathize with this woman. I mean, I do sympathize with her for the plight she is facing in her life. Her daughter's vexed with the devil. But mainly, I empathize with her. I know how she feels. Now, people tell us today that we shouldn't feel this way. I know that. Today, it's all about having a positive self-image. Isn't that what everybody pushes today? You got to feel good about yourself. You got to have, and psychologists and psychiatrists tell us we got to have a positive self-esteem. And several years ago when I was a kid, I remember a t-shirt going around with a little boy on it with his arms crossed. And he said, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. You remember that t-shirt? Now, that might be a good motto, and I guess a kind of a cute t-shirt. But that's exactly how I feel spiritually most of the time. You see, when it comes right down to it, I know that I am no better than a dog. I know that I am nothing and I have nothing that would make me deserving of God's favor upon me. I'm sure you agree with that. I am nothing, I have nothing that would make me deserving of God even taking notice of me. I have nothing that would make me deserving of God letting me live another hour upon this earth. If God were to take away my life tonight, He'd be perfectly just in doing so. And so I read this text, and I can't help but thinking about that. Every time I read this text, I know how she feels. Listen, truth be known, there have been times when I go to prayer when I don't even feel worthy to call on His name. Do you ever feel that way? I feel like that old publican that the Bible says could not even turn his eyes toward heaven. I don't even feel worthy to call on His name, let alone to ask favors of Him. And this woman said, you know what? I am nothing but a dog. Teaches us a very important lesson, I think, in how we ought to approach our Heavenly Father. I really believe that. Now, I don't like most things that Martin Luther had to say. I got some of his writings back there. I question a whole lot of things about Martin Luther, to be perfectly honest with you. He came out of Catholicism. The trouble is he didn't come far enough. So I question a whole lot of things that Martin Luther said. But it was said one time that Martin Luther was sitting at his dinner table and his little puppy dog was sitting beside him at the table. And you know how puppy dogs do. They look in there with those big old puppy dog eyes and just waiting for a morsel to fall from the master's table. And Luther was said to look at his wife and said, you know, I wish that I could learn to pray the way that puppy looks right now. You know, listen, that's the way I feel. And what this woman said, listen, I know, Lord, I am a dog, but even a dog it feeds and eats from the crumbs that fall from its master's table. Now, another thing that this text teaches me, folks, is just this, that even a crumb from God is more than enough, you know. Listen, I'm learning that more and more in my life. Listen, little is much if God is in it. And just a crumb, just a morsel from God is better than a feast from the devil. That's what I'm learning more and more in my life. See, you understand that this woman, when it comes down to it, this woman had a problem that she could not handle, you know. And she comes to him and she says, Lord, have mercy on me. And what Jesus tells her, listen, he says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, I like her attitude, what she ended up saying. I mean, think about it. She wasn't asking for the whole loaf. She was just asking for the crumbs. And that ought to teach us a great lesson, because there was a problem she could not handle. I say this to you often. You don't have to live very long to find out that you're going to face things in this life, folks, that's going to be too much for you to handle. You're going to have problems in this life. And, of course, the Bible is filled with that truth. The Bible says that man that is born of woman, man, he's just a few days and he's full of trouble. In fact, as Job says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. As I often say to you, you don't have to go looking for trouble. If you hang around long enough, trouble's going to find you. And she had problems that she could not have. Let me tell you what I have figured out in my life. It is at times like that that you really learn how to pray, I think. You know. Listen, you are going to have problems in this life. And we could stand here all day listing all the potential ways you're going to have problems in your life. For some, it may be family problems. I don't know. Maybe it is a wayward child that breaks your heart. I know from experience, nothing can break your heart more than a child of your own. Those that are closest to you has the most power to hurt you. It might be a husband or a wife. It seems like doing all they can do to try to destroy your marriage and wreck your dreams, if you will. I don't know. Maybe it's some sickness. Listen, if you live long enough, you're going to face a lot of sickness in this body. This body is prone. As I often say, dress it up all you want, pretty it up all you want. Sooner or later, your body is going to get sick. And you're going to face sickness and disease and then face all the uncertainty that comes along with that. I don't know about you. I'm sure you do. But I think of Sister Dinah. I pray for Dinah Wilson every day. I do. Can you imagine being told all of a sudden that you have brain cancer? Listen, that C word scares you to death. And we ought to be praying a lot, I think, for Sister Dinah Wilson. But you're going to get sick one way or the other. I don't know. You can list all these things. Maybe it's financial problems. Do you know that one of the major causes of divorce is not infidelity, it's not adultery. Now that ranks way up there. But many times the major cause of divorce among young couples especially is financial problems. We've all struggled. There's always more month than there is money. But the point is, I could stand here and list in all kinds of different ways that you're going to have problems in this life. But I'll tell you what, it's when you find out you face a problem you cannot handle, man, that's when you really learn how to pray. Because you come to the place where you realize that you need help from somebody. I mean, somebody has got to intervene in your life. This thing is too much for you. What you need is you need God. You desperately need God to work a work in your life. As I said to you, I think the last time we looked at this text, what I think about, man, you come to the place where you realize you don't need God to give you the whole loaf. You just need the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You don't need God to remove every burden in your life. You just need Him to remove the heaviest burden in your life. You get to that place sometimes. You don't need God to move every mountain. You just need God to move the highest mountain in your life. You don't need Him to give you the whole loaf. But what you find out is just the crumbs from God is better than a feast from the devil. That's what I think about every time I come to this passage. It is such a touching story. Here is a woman in a desperate situation. And she comes to the only one that could do anything about it. And she comes because of her daughter. And Jesus, His reaction, as we'll get into in a moment, on the surface seems kind of strange. And He tells her, listen, basically, I didn't come for you. It is not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, that's fine, Lord, I am a dog. But even the dog feeds from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, again, I know you have problems. I know you have heartaches. I know you have things that you cannot handle. But I also know, and God has proven Himself time and time again, I also know God is able, you see. Listen, God can do exceeding, abundantly, above all we ask or think. I love that verse of Scripture. The greatest thing I can ask, God can do greater. The greatest thing I can even think about, the greatest thing I can even imagine in my mind, and God can do greater. You know, God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I want us to look at this from your text again. With this thing, folks, just a crumb will do. I've learned that more and more in my life. Notice first, let me divide this in three ways. Notice first this woman's petition. I love this verse. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, listen, I read that. You want to know the first thing that comes to my mind every time I read what this woman did and read this woman's words? First thing that comes to my mind is that there's nothing quite like the love of a good and godly mother. Now, many of us know that. We've experienced that in our lives. But there's nothing like the love of mother. I was jokingly talking about dads and men in general this morning. I know them a little bit because I am one. But listen, here's what you figure out very quickly if you're a dad. If you're a dad, you're nice to have around occasionally. I mean, dads are good for certain things. Dads are good to rope and play, wrestle. I did that a lot with my kids. So when my kids wanted to rope and play and act a fool, Dad was good for that. Dad was good to take you fishing occasionally, take you hunting. They liked having Dad around for things like that. Dad was good if you needed something fixed. When you're little, you're ignorant enough to think that Dad can fix anything, you know. So they're good for stuff like that. Dads are good if you need a little of this, you know. Because in our house, it was Daddy that was the pushover. I don't know if it's like anybody else's house. But Renee just had to blink her eyes at me and smile, and she could get pretty much what she wanted out of Daddy. And she wanted Daddy around for stuff like that. But when she is sick or she's hurting, she didn't want Daddy, she wanted Mommy. As I said this morning, there is nothing like the nurturing and the love of a godly mother. And to me, maybe I sound humanistic about when I say this. To me, there is nothing like the prayers of a good and godly mother. And so this mother comes and she cries out, "Have mercy on me." Now that ought to teach you something, young people. Listen to me. She didn't say, "Have mercy on my daughter." She cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." You know what you find out, young people, is that when something happens to you, it happens to your mother and to your father also. It didn't take me very long as a parent to find out that I would much rather some tragedy befall me than befall my children. Nothing like the love of a mother. I read about Hudson Taylor's conversion one time, and it was said Hudson Taylor went into his daddy's study and found a gospel tract there, and he picked that tract up and he read it, and he laid it back down, didn't give it a second thought, but when he left, for days, that the message of that tract kept coming back and haunting him, and it haunted him at night. He could not sleep, and finally, he fell on his knees one day and asked the Lord to save him, and God saved him at that time. He was so excited, he ran to his mother and told her, "Mom, I'm saved." And tears filled her eyes, and she said, "Son, ever since I saw you reading that tract, I have been praying that God would use that tract to save your soul." It sounds maybe a little humanistic, but I think nothing turns the heart of God quite like the prayers of a godly mother. And she cried out, "Have mercy on me." Another thing I thought about was in her particular case, it was that her daughter, she says, was vexed with a devil. Demon possession. More common than you like to think. And I think getting more prevalent in our society. I'm convinced of that. Now, I don't know what her particular behavior was. It doesn't really lay it out too much in the Gospels. But from reading other accounts, I can just imagine what kind of behavior this young girl exhibited. And it tore at the heart of her mother. Now, listen, if you've seen parents with wayward children and how such anguish that it brings to their heart, then you begin to, or maybe you have wayward children, listen, nothing like a child that can break your heart like that. Nothing but a child can break your heart quite like that. I come awake a whole lot at night praying for my two boys. And I'll lay there and I'll weep. I had one of them a long time back, call me and cuss me out on the telephone because I wouldn't accept their way of life. And I sat there and wept. And then I said, I love you, son, and hung up the phone. Nothing hurts quite like that. I know what she's feeling. Thankfully, a few days later, he called back. He was weak. He apologized and said, I love you, Dad. But listen, I tell you, there is nothing that breaks a parent's heart quite like a wayward child. So we have why she came. She came in this case for her daughter. Secondly, notice why she called. Now Matthew doesn't record it, but in Mark's account, it says she'd heard of him. That's why she called on him. She'd heard of the mighty works that he had done. Maybe she had heard how he caused the blind to see, how he made the lame to walk. I don't know how he unstopped the ears of the deaf. Maybe she'd heard that he'd also cast demons out of other people. Maybe she heard about the demoniac in Gadara, and she thought, man, if he could take a man who was naked and who was cutting on himself and screaming out his torment day and night and living in a graveyard, running around naked like a madman, if he can take that man, and when he gets finished with him, that man is sitting and is clothed in his right mind, surely he can do something with my daughter. Maybe she said, well, if he can cast a legion of demons out of a man, surely he can cast one demon out of my daughter. But she'd heard of him. Listen, if you got something in your life, you've heard of the Master, haven't you? You'd heard what he can do. Maybe if you have sickness and disease, I mean, go to the doctor. I say that to you often. I give advice to everybody except to myself. I don't like going to the doctors, but you go to the doctors. But most importantly, if you have sickness, folks, the Bible teaches us he is the great physician. Or you have distress in your life and you don't know which way to turn. The Bible teaches, you've heard that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I mean, he can give you peace, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. Or if you have sin in your life, listen, that's not the time to run from him. That's the time to run to him, right? Because you've heard that he is the friend of sinners. And that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm chief. The point is, you've heard of him, so why in the world do you turn from him instead of running to him when you have things like that in your life? Listen, Jesus said one time, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How did he say it? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and there you shall find rest for your souls. Why turn from him when you should be running to him? The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we have her petition. Have mercy on me. O Lord, the son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Second of all, notice her persistence. This is the thing that always gets to me a little bit. God works in mysterious ways. Because it on the surface, the way Jesus treated her doesn't seem quite like Jesus. The woman we got in our mind. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of strange on the surface the way that he treated her in this text. Yet the thing I like, because it seems like he outright rejects her. But the thing I like in this is she did not quit. Now notice quickly what I would call some obstacles to faith. And this is important because what you're going to find out, there's going to be things happen in your life that's going to shake sometimes the foundations of your faith. Your faith is going to be called into question. Well, listen, that's not the time to quit. She faced several obstacles. For example, she faced first the obstacle of race. Verse 21 tells us she was a woman from Tyre, Sidon. Verse 22 says she was a Canaanite. Now, that tells us two things about this woman right off the bat. One, she was from a doomed race. Remember when Joshua came into Canaan? He was told, listen, you don't live anybody breathing in there. It was a doomed race. She had no right to come to the Lord like that. Two, she practiced a damning religion. She was a pagan. She was an idolater. So she had to overcome the obstacle of race. Then she had to overcome the obstacle of religion. I mean, she called on him. She called him Son of David. On the basis of being the Jewish Messiah. A Gentile, a Canaanite, had no right to expect him to do anything. She was as we are by nature. When Paul says, listen, we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. How did he say it? Having no hope without God in this world. We have no right in ourselves to expect anything from God. It's the way we are. She had to overcome the obstacle of race, overcome the obstacle of religion. Then she had to overcome the obstacle of racism. The disciples pretty much said, send her away. She crieth after us. She's one of those people. I got to tell you what. One of the things that's done damage in our Sovereign Grace Baptist churches is that sometimes we're too full of racism. Hey, I would love to see every color of the spectrum represented in Faith Baptist Church. We ought to be reaching out. There is neither Jew nor Greek, right? Neither bond nor free in God's house. And then, lastly, she had overcome the obstacle of rejection. I mean, the way what Jesus said to her, first he basically says, you know what, I didn't come for you. I mean, she calls on him on the basis of being a Jewish Messiah. That was no help. She then comes and she falls before him in worship. And then he calls her, he basically says he didn't come for her. And then he calls her a dog. She said, all right, fine. I'm a dog. This is how I feel. But even a dog eats from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. So she had to overcome these obstacles. What I like, she turns those obstacles into opportunities. Here's what I thought about. If we'd have heard Jesus say that I came first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, we would have basically heard him say, I didn't come for you. But you know what she heard? She heard first. First. You didn't come first for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's fine. I'll take the seconds. And then when he calls her a dog, she says, that's fine. I'm a dog. But I'll take the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The point is, if you have something in your life, folks, that you cannot handle, that's not the time to run from him. That's the time to run to him. There is a promise. Remember Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. You can come. It's not the time to run. I say this all the time, but I've talked to people who have things happen in their life, and for whatever reason, instead of running to him, they run away from him. It doesn't make any sense. She did not quit. So we have her petition. Number two, we have her persistence. Lastly, notice her prize. I like this. I didn't read this verse to you, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And listen to what it says. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, Mark's account says it a little bit different. Mark's account tells us that when she got home, her daughter was made whole. She found her laying on her bed. Now, can you imagine what that must have felt like? In the first place, Jesus responded to her faith. He says, "Oh, daughter, great is thy faith." Let me tell you, the Bible, Jesus said this one time. Listen, if thou canst believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. He said that. I feel like saying sometimes, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." You may say, "Well, that's all well and good, but you don't know how big my problem is." I may not, but I know how big God is. Or you may say, "Well, you don't know how bad I am." I may not, but I know how good God is. And how did James say it? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. He responded to her faith, and then second, he rewarded her faith. Can you imagine what it was like to get to her house and see her little girl healed? Now, I don't know what all your problems are, but I guarantee you have them. But I do know God is able. One of my favorite accounts, I think about this often, and I've preached from it before, when a man by the name of Jairus, you remember, is it Mark chapter 5, they call it the Bible home of the incurables, as I've preached before, but in Mark chapter 5, a man by the name of Jairus came to the Lord and said, my daughter's dying. My daughter's at the point of death. Well, Jesus goes with him as they're traveling back to Jairus' house. And you know the account, there was people just thronging him and following him. And there was a woman with an issue of blood that touched him. And Jesus stopped. Now, if I'd have been Jairus, I'd have been going nuts. "Why are you stopping? My daughter is kind of like being in a traffic jam. I don't have much patience in a traffic jam. But magnify that many times if my baby girl's in the back seat dying." He had to be going crazy. Anyway, he was delayed several times, and when he gets to Jairus' house, a fella comes out, meets him, said, "You're too late. Don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." They get to the house, and there's all the professional mourners there, people wailing and crying and carrying on. And Jesus says, you know, "Why maketh you this ado?" That'd be like they're saying, "Why are you carrying on like this? The damsel is not dead. She's only asleep." And he goes over and he takes her by the hand and he says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise, get up." And she gets up. And the Bible says they were astonished with great astonishment. You better believe it. Let me tell you something. If Jesus can do something like that, I guarantee you he can take care of whatever problems you have. There was a man that Jesus loved that died. And he delayed his getting to him. And so much so that the man's sister said, "Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother would not have died." Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" She said, "Lord, he's by this time," he gets there and he tells her to roll back the stone and said, "Lord, he'd been there 4 days. By this time he's stinking." And Jesus had him roll back the stone and he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And if he could do that, he could take care of whatever problem we have. I just think about this. God does not always give us the whole loaf. I may have told you this story of a pastor one day walking through town. And he passed by one of his members' house, a man who's well over 100 years old. Everybody called him Uncle Johnny. And he heard singing on the other side of the fence. And Uncle Johnny was out in the backyard. He was just singing and had such joy in his heart. And the pastor hollered over the fence, "And Uncle Johnny, why are you so happy today?" He said, "Oh, preacher," he just, "I've got to thinking." He said, "If just the crumbs on this side of heaven are so good and glorious, imagine what that whole loaf is going to be like
when we get to heaven one day. God doesn't always give you the whole loaf, but what you find, just a morsel from God, is better than a feast from the devil. Just a crumb will do. I'll quit. Let's stand.